You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
The scripture reading will be in Colossians chapter 1, verses 25 through the rest of the chapter. The last few weeks, as you know, I've been pretty much out of pocket, and I've had a lot of time to think, study, and it's only natural at this state of my being that I begin to think about dying. And it's the tomorrow that each one of you must face, and face with reality, not your fancies, and asking the question that you must inevitably ask, because there are only two things in this life that really cannot be dodged. One is life, and the other is death. Some people say death and taxes. Yes, you can dodge taxes too. But you can't get around life and death, and tomorrow must be unaccountable. We often refer to being teachers of grace. I want you to appreciate that in our lesson today. I think you will, in a way that, if it takes hold of you, I mean, you'll just be like shouting on the inside. Because up until Calvary, God was at war with humanity. He's a just God, a holy God, who cannot stand sin. It's repugnant in every sense. I mean, every comma, every dot, everything about it. I want you to listen to this now carefully. For 50 years now, roughly, I've had the privilege of walking with the Lord. I say walking, is mostly dragging me. But nevertheless, after 50 years, I can say with Paul in the 7th chapter of Romans, oh, wretched man that I am. Because the body of this death that I walk around in hasn't changed one iota, except to get decayed, that's a little bit off. It has the same lust, the same ambitions, the same selfishness, the same man that I never have changed a bit. I'm just as rotten today as I was then. But that man is dead as far as God is concerned. And a new creation has come into existence. Colossians 2:17, if you want the reference. This was brought about for this reason. At Calvary, God was in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:19, if you want these references. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. So when Christ died on the Calvary, the wrath of God against humanity ceased. God has not been mad at anybody for almost 2,000 years. This is why he can deal with you in sovereign grace. The call to you now is this, and I think most of you met this call, but if you haven't, talk it over with yourself soberly. Examine yourself to these ends. God is reconciled with you. No problem on his part. He's been completely satisfied with the wrath that was poured out upon his son. He's reconciled. Now the call goes, but be ye reconciled. Are you still mad at God? Do you say to him, why, Lord? Why does this thing happen to me? After all, I see the wicked in high places. I see them prospering. And there's no turning back. They're strong in death even. They have big funerals to tell how wonderful they are. You see. But God is reconciled. And his call to you is to be reconciled. Don't be mad at God anymore. What he's doing for you, what may seem bad, distasteful, he's doing it for your benefit. It's a manifestation of his love. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, he child trains. He's not punishing you. He's trying to get your attention. And that's a call to suffering. You remember when Paul was called, keep in mind that Paul himself says he is the pattern for us. The Apostle Paul is the agency for us Gentiles, and all people for that matter. Just as Moses was the agency to the nation of Israel. Paul is a pattern. Paul was the leader of the insurrection against Christ. He was the foulest man on this planet as far as God's justice was concerned. Because he hated God, and yet he thought he loved God. He was ready to kill for God. But he never knew God. He had religion. And religion has to do with self. What's in it for me? Christianity has to do with once you see, what can I do to be approved in God's sight? That's what it's all about. Not for my pleasure, but for his pleasure. And after all, that's what it, and I quote, you were created for his good pleasure. Do you think God really enjoys you? What do you have in common with him? That you have the boldness and the guts to come into his presence. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a wrathful God. How dare you assume that? And yet God says, I'm reconciled. My son has satisfied me. Be ye reconciled. That's a call for life. Until you meet that call, you're dead. God hates you. He don't like you at all. Except for Calvary. You may think you're something on a stick. But I assure you, in God's sight, apart from Christ, you stink. God is holy. Can you imagine what holiness is? But Christ in you gives you a hope. That hope is turned upon your calling. We're going to be seeing about that a little later. Anything I say today, I try to give you content of the scripture, but if I fail to do so, ask me afterwards and I'll give it to you. There's so many scriptures, it takes almost the time just to write the scriptures down. But in any case, what happened to me, if it's happened to you, is that God planted the seed of life when you received Christ. You became alive. You were a new creation. He's not trying in any way whatsoever to reform that old man. That's a wasted time of effort. He's through with that fella. He's dead. He's gone. So you don't have life unless you've been reconciled to God. Think about that. This is why, and I quote a verse that Tom Ragsdale likes to quote to his Catholic brethren. There's one mediator, there's one God and one mediator between God and man. That's Christ Jesus. You see, it was impossible for God to deal with men prior to Calvary the way he deals with you. But you see, Christ is God manifest in the flesh. And when Christ died on that tree, he made the provision of reconciliation that God himself, the person of God, could be reconciled. Because all of the wrath and the wholeness demands was met. God's not mad at you. He can deal with you in grace. He does not see you as a live person. He sees you as dead until you receive the mediator, which is Christ Jesus. And since, notice, the mediator is a man. There's one God and one mediator between the God and the man. And that man is Christ Jesus. This is why in the days of his flesh, he says he learned obedience through what? Suffering. Can you imagine what a distasteful thing it was for God to take on human flesh, be found in the fashion of a man, when God sees man and what he really is? Can you imagine the humiliation of God to do such a thing? That's why Paul said, I account that the sufferings of this time are nothing to be compared with the glory that's to follow. I want you to keep these thoughts in mind, particular with this series of studies in the Bible conference ahead. And you make your decisions based upon these facts, because you have an opportunity here to share in things that will still be in line with what we think. We'll have to fight that battle, but I trust that he will bring to you some thinking that we've not covered. And so if you're really concerned about approval with God, in God's sight, think about this in these meetings coming up, not only for yourself, but to anybody else you can get here. Don't do this just for your good pleasure. Do it for his good pleasure. You see, the minute that you don't realize that fact is because of the selfish you that you are. For once, begin to think as God sees things, for his good pleasure. And you know, you'll find some real pleasure. Not only is this true for all of God's saints, and the admonition is to the lost as well, of course, to come, but then God has certain callings for us too. And that's where the mystery comes in. Turn with me quickly to 2 Timothy, Paul's last letter, in chapter 1 and verse 10. Perhaps we should read verse 9 with it too. He saved us, that is, those of us who are reconciled to God, with a holy calling, not according to our works, not because of anything we did, but according to his own purpose. Now notice, his purpose was an even grace, that and can be even too, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. But now, this, we're in the last letter of the prison letters of the mystery. But now is made manifest by the divine intervention of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath, notice, abolished what? Death. Here's the problem of death. I think the psalmist said it, and he didn't realize what he said. But I'm glad he said it. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, Why? Because David was a man after God's own heart, you see. But he not only saved us, but he also gave us a calling, notice, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the ages, is now made manifest by the divine intervention of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death, hath brought life. Here for the first time you have life in Christ Jesus. And immortality. This word is not really the word for immortality, it's the word for incorruptible. You know, when a man dies, corruption sets in. The worms eat him up. But the thing that God has for you can never be eaten up. You are new, not only a new creation, but in the calling that you now have, Ephesians chapter 2, your calling is a new man. And in Ephesians chapter 4, and that new man is to be brought to the fullness of the stature of Christ. If I can make it until Elijah comes, I'd like to be here. I won't be here, I don't think. I think I'll leave just before he gets here, but I'll make it to see him come in here. But I want to try to hold out, because I think 88 stands a good chance of being that time. I may be wrong about the time. But in any case, if I should go before then, let me say this to you. I have life. That life is his life. That's the word Zoe. That's not bios. Bios is biological life. And that's dead as far as God is concerned. But I have his life. And that's why Paul cried out, "Oh, wretched man that I am." He sees himself in the body, you see. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? And now listen as the Holy Spirit enlightens him. I thank God that while with the body of the flesh, I serve the body of the flesh. But with the mind of God now, I serve him. There is therefore now no condemnation. Why? For the law of life in Christ Jesus, has made me free from the law of death. Think about that. I'm a free man. That's why Paul said, the time of my being let loose from what? Has now arrived. And there awaits me a crown of righteousness, because I did the right thing. And he was standing at that time, keep in mind, with the ecclesiastical system of that day. Paul says, thou knowest that all those in Asia, that was the heart of Paul's ministry, have turned away from me. That's hard to stand. I know I had a little of that experience myself. One of the largest churches in Oklahoma City. I had great respect for them. They had great respect for me until I took on the mystery. And they forbid me to even open my mouth in that church. They would allow me to come if I wanted to sit there. That man's a very prominent minister in Oklahoma City today. Anyway, I know what it is to be turned down. And if you teach grace, I mean real grace, don't just say you teach it, but if you really do, I guarantee you'll be no friend of religion, and particularly the devil, and you suffer for it. I don't mean just physically, I mean mentally. Because that call for recognition is always in your heart, you see. That's natural. But once you learn, and as Paul in the twilight of life said, I've learned, brother, I've learned too. I've learned that whatever state I'm in, therewith to be content. I know how to be up on top of the ball, I know how to be abased too. I've been put down by the best of them. So I know. I've learned that though. It just didn't come automatic. It's a cause of suffering, but it has a glory. Notice in the same chapter, I mean this same book, 2 Timothy, chapter 2. It's a faithful saying, if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also rule with him. If we deny him, he will deny us, that is, to rule. If we believe not, yet he abides faithful. He cannot deny himself. Now you may be saved, but if you deny by not accepting your role, then he will deny you the higher place in his court. You will not rule with him. You'll be saved. You see, you have a call, notice, to the very royal court of our great God to rule with him. That's why you're to be brought in the mystery. You're to be brought to the fullness of the stature of Christ. And we're talking about eternity, beloved. We're not talking about 70 and 10. Is it worth it? Is it worth it to sell your heritage for a mess of pottage? How many people will meet him one day and say, oh, look what I did. And what you did is what Christ did. That's why grace needs to be. And when you present the message of grace, it doesn't leave man anything. He's naked. He don't have anything to offer except what? The finished work of Christ, the efficacy of his shed blood, that's all. You haven't got a thing to offer. And so this is the importance of Christ in you. And that idea of in is brought out very, very vividly in the third chapter of Ephesians, when he speaks about in that high priestly prayer of Paul for the Gentiles, for the nations, rather, I should say, all men, not just the Gentiles, that Christ may dwell in your hearts. And he does that, but that isn't what that word just simply, it isn't limited to that. It means to feel at home with you. What a paradox. God living in an old dead carcass, because that old man's dead. The one that is a battle in the warfare between the new creature and Christ Jesus going on in your life. And Christ is right in the midst of it, and he feels perfect at home. He does all things well. But I think in the reality of things, many times he doesn't feel home. Because the pace you put him through as he works out, see, for it's God who works in you to do what? His perfect will. Christ in you, you see, is your hope, all right. But the hope of enjoying us. God wants you to enjoy your salvation. And there has to be a letdown. And you have to recognize that not only is God reconciled, but you're reconciled too. And who? Because of the great mediator. See? He's not only God and can mediate as God, but he's also the man, Christ Jesus, who can mediate for man. That's very near religion. You see, there's only one way. There's only one hope. There's only one life. It all turns upon him. Now, we've been called in a new man, in a new body of believers. to enter into his royal court. That's what the mystery is all about, which is far above all principalities and powers. By every name is named, not only in this life, but in the life to come. Because we share in that royal court as a part of the mystery. We're not just playing religion here, beloved. If I were to play religion, I sure wouldn't have been in this business here. We're talking about the nitty-gritty, and each one of you will not be able to stand in his presence and say what I'm saying until you yourself know this to be a fact. When you can say, and you keep in mind, it takes boldness to come into the presence of a holy God. And yet, the minute I drop this body of death, my problem, I'll enter into that presence. That's the out resurrection. It's out from resurrection, you see. And the next verse tells me I'll meet him, Philippians 3, 21, 20 and 21. I'll meet him for the first time. Why? Because he will change this body of my humiliation into his like unto his glorious body. Think about that. That's why he is your hope, you see. Without him, you've got nothing. You're just naked before God. Yeah, you've got fig leaves. This is the plan that God worked out for you in grace. Not in any sense of legality in any sense. Pure sovereign grace, which was motivated by his love for you. And only he can understand that. I can't, particularly as I look at you. I've already run over time, but, and I don't apologize for that, because there's so much I need to say. Not only will I meet him and be a creature like him, but I'll have a new name. Even my identity. There'll be no longer Clifford McLean. He's going to give me a new name to go along with that new nature. That's not just for the mystery people, that's for all God's people. That's in the book of Revelation, chapter 2. Be given a new name. So anybody that has anything against you, charges, say, well, that fellow, I knew him when. No, you didn't know him when. Because that fellow you knew in here is a new man and a new name, a new nature entirely. And God said, well, the devil said, well, you know, that cannot be true because I've seen you confess your sin and go back within a week's time and do the same thing over and go back and confess that. And God says, well, I don't remember. It's removed from you as far as the east is from the west. It's hidden in the deepest sea. Never to be remembered. Never to be remembered. God doesn't remember. As far as your life, it's a sea of forgetfulness. When I was in school, I remember we had a little song. I want to get that up and learn that. It's something like this. You ask me why I'm happy, and I'll just tell you why. Because my sins are gone. They're hidden in, let's see. They're hidden in the forgetfulness of God's, I wish I could think of those words. God doesn't remember. When you bring that old skeleton out of the closet and talk to God about it, God says, I don't remember. It's hidden in the deepest sea. And you see the sea of his forgetfulness. Did you know that God can do that? Aren't you glad? Oh, man. If I had to give an account of those things, you see. That's grace, beloved. You don't hear that preached because that don't give them anything. They got no claim on you at all. You see? You're a free man. Whatever you don't do it because you got to. You do it because you want to. And if you don't want to, you know there's something wrong. Paul says, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. Because I'm in bad shape. God, you can see right now what a pitiful state we are in America. And if we're in a pitiful state, think about the world. They know nothing about the grace of God. America doesn't either. Think about that. This is not setting in judgment on anybody. This is trying to let you see how great the God is that we worship. Well, I could go on all afternoon on this. I want you to appreciate Christ in this. You see, nothing that does not have a rewarding ending if you're really wanting to know Him. And I've had 3 weeks of it, brother, to put a lot of things together. Next Sunday deal with something very similar to this again. And then after Mr. Penny's gone, we're going to start a series of studies that have to do with what might happen real soon. And we trust and hope that it does. But if it doesn't, it's really going to cut in your figures. If it doesn't happen, I'm not going to be disappointed. Because I just be there ahead of time, that's all. Father, we thank you for this little fellowship this morning. As personal as it is, and we commit it to you for your approval, that you will cause your people to think soberly on what I've said to them. Not that there's anything overwhelming that we've said here, but just the realization of who you are and what you've done on our behalf. How you've made it so inexcusable to turn away from. God, help us to appreciate again your person as to your thoughtfulness and love, even in the times of great distress, that this is a time of real blessing. Thank you, Lord. Help those who have a heavy heart this morning to that end. And to those who are in good spirits about it, may they rejoice with thanksgiving. These things for Christ Jesus' sake, in His name we ask it. Amen.
Happy birthday to me.
God bless me.
Happy birthday to you.
Thank you. And many more.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.